talking with Colin Woodall, of course, from NCBA's Washington, D.C. office. Colin, top of mind, obviously, the drama of the debt ceiling deficit reduction deal that was finally cut, signed into law by the president already. Washington has kind of gotten a little more deserted with the Congress fleeing for their August recess. Your overall thoughts of this whole process as you've watched it?
It was just disastrous. That was my overall thought. It was just really kind of embarrassing to see the way that this really boiled down. You know, that this was not a surprise. It's been coming for quite some time. And the fact that they waited to the last minute, like Congress often does, is problematic, not only because of all the drama that it caused, but because of everything else that was put on hold because of their attention on this debt ceiling. You know, we had an interior EPA appropriations bill that we had hoped to get done that really went by the wayside. Our three pending trade agreements really were just abandoned because of all the attention given here. Not to mention just the attention that it brought towards ag spending and the questions that it brought forward on what this means for the next farm bill. So, you know, really glad that they're gone for a few weeks because I think everybody needs to really rest and lick their wounds before we come back in September and try to get something productive done.
Let's talk about free trade agreements, first of all. The standoff is, you know, continues to be between the administration and the GOP regarding this Trade Assistance Act.
Yeah, that's exactly where the hurdle is right now. You know, trade adjustment assistance is all about a concession to the unions. That's where it came from. And basically, it was a program that's put in place to say if you were a unionized worker that lost your job to a trade agreement, the federal government would retrain you for a new vocation. That program had expired, and the Democrats, especially on the Senate side, had said, we need to get that reauthorized before we move forward. The Republicans have said, no, we don't want anything to do with that. So that has really slowed down. What was some pretty good progress on all three of those agreements. Now, where we stand on that right now, like I said, we're probably going to see action maybe in September, maybe not, because of the funding bills that have to be taken care of. So we may see a vote probably at the earliest, the end of that month or into October. I think one of the things that we're making very clear to both sides is that we have to look at the long-term benefits of these three trade agreements. The TAA, if we can have some sort of short-term reauthorization enough to get the objections from the Democrats lifted, you know, we're going to support that to make sure that we have that long-term access to all three of these markets, because long-term it is great for cattle producers.
Of course, the problem there is the dollars, and obviously you've got some elements, the Tea Party group and others, that are really having a hard time with any additional spending.
Oh, you're exactly right, and I'm concerned about how all this debt discussion we just went through will impact what happens to TAA. They now may come back and say, look, there's just no funds, period, and this is not something we want to spend a whole lot of time on. If that's the case, I think it's going to be incumbent upon industry, those of us on the livestock side especially, to get with the Democrats and say, look, you've got to look at the long-term impact of the economy here, the entire economy, not just the ag economy, and try to lift your restrictions. Because if we don't get a vote in September or October, then we're pushed into this election year. And in election years, we do a lot of talking, but it's rare that we do any acting. And if we don't get something done, one, it hurts industry, it hurts cattle producers, and two, it sends the wrong signal to our trading partners saying, hey, you can come and negotiate with the United States, but don't expect a final deal. And that could harm us as we look not only at these three agreements, but also what we want to do with China and Japan.
Ag spending. Where do you see this really coming down at this point? Effectively, it sounds like it's been pushed off maybe to this super committee, if nothing else.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to be the first time we really get a whiff of where they're going to go. You know, ag spending is always at the top of discussions in federal deficit reductions, always. I think a lot of that is people don't really understand exactly where that ag spending goes. You know, people just talk about the farm bill in general. They don't realize that, especially in this past farm bill, over 70% of it was for food and nutrition programs. It wasn't payments to farmers. And I think we're going to have to help Chairman Lucas and also the Senate Ag Committee really work with these members of Congress to have them understand that, you know, this is not just a pot of money they can go raid because people don't understand the mechanics. This is important to make sure that we have a vibrant and robust agriculture industry. So really, we're going to have to, as industry, come out and help Chairman Lucas protect what's out there.
What are the elements of the farm, you know, the safety net, the conservation programs? What are the elements that NCBA is most interested in?
I would say we're most interested in the conservation title and the research title. Conservation title, just because the programs like EQIP have been very successful in the cattle industry. And the thing that's good about EQIP is that it's a cost-share program. The government puts up some money and the producer puts up some money. And also the research title, because research, we actually think, is probably a good use of the taxpayer dollars to help us find better production practices and also to help us with our efforts to combat diseases, foreign animal diseases, and make sure we have a healthy herd. So those are the two we're going to be engaged in. We know that cuts are coming across the board, and we just want to make sure that everything's pretty equitable. Now, our one priority is to eliminate the livestock title. You know, this last farm bill was the first time we had a dedicated livestock title, and it gave us the GIPSA rule, it gave us the mandatory country of origin labeling program. We want to eliminate that and just take that off the table.
A couple of other areas that I think are out there right now. You mentioned GIPSA. Any hint, any indication as far as where we really are, as far as what Mr. Vilsack may be doing?
You know, right now we're waiting on the chief economist at USDA to finish his economic analysis. I think once that's done, then we'll see Secretary Vilsack's next move. And his next move will be a final rule. The good thing is, though, they'll have to go back through the Office of Management and Budget for a review. Last time they didn't give it much of a review because they did not think it was an economically significant rule, which means it would have an over $100 million impact. That has changed. You know, Joe Glauber testified in front of the Senate Ag Committee back in June and said that, yes, this was an economically significant rule, and I think that will allow OMB to give it a little bit more of a thorough scrubbing than we did the first time around, and that could probably help us out.
You don't see much hope for another public comment period after the cost-benefit analysis?
No. The Secretary has been very clear that he is not going to allow reviewer comment, and I think he's going to stick to that. So I think our next action is seeing this final rule and then more than likely taking USDA to court.
Animal ID. We keep getting these hints. It's coming. It's coming. When is it coming?
It's coming. It's coming. That's all I can say. You know, we just had a conversation with Dr. Clifford last week asking him, you know, where are we at? Because we've been hearing since April that it's coming. It's coming. He keeps telling us it's coming. And that's frustrating because we know that there's going to be some good things in there. Because one thing that he and APHIS did is they really took the time to talk to industry. And when you look at NCBA's policy, you know, when we first started talking about this, we were very firm. We want a voluntary program. We do not want the government telling us how to work this. And over the past couple of years, we've seen that soften a little bit to say, okay, if there is a program, then here are some things that we want in it. And Dr. Clifford listened to that. And I think what we see, we're not going to be 100% happy with, but the good thing is it's going to be a proposed rule. So we'll have the opportunity to comment on it, try to make some changes. And I think that most folks need to understand that this is a program that we've had some opportunity to influence, and we just need to make sure it's something that's workable for producers.
Herman Kay mentioned last night the death tax. We're obviously about halfway through that two-year extension now that we got at the 11th hour, almost a year ago now. How do we make that thing permanent?
You know, unfortunately, I think it's going to take till next year to get Congress to act, just because we talked about earlier the debt ceiling. They never like to do anything early. But the good thing is that ever since we passed that extension back this past December, we've been able to keep the momentum within Congress of people talking about this and knowing that we need a permanent fix. You know, we've got bills introduced that are full repeals, and I think that that's going to be a great start. I don't think we're going to get a full repeal, but I think that the plan that we have right now with 3.5 or a 5 million per person, 10 million per couple, 3.5 or a 35% tax rate, that's probably going to be the base that we're working from. And I think it can only get better from there. We may see more in the along the lines of exemption amounts. We could see further tax reductions, or we could see just a blanket exemption for agriculture. And we're going to continue to put the pressure on them, but I don't expect an action probably until the last minute, which will be November, December of 2012.
Colin Woodall with the NCBA's Washington, D.C. office. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.